Matthew chapter 7, I want to bring you a message called The Danger of Getting Close. The Danger of Getting Close. And you'll see what I mean as the lesson goes on. Matthew 7, and we'll start at verse number 1. Here's a verse that many people have quoted and misquoted, and use this for misinformation sometimes. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse number 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote?" Now notice that word mote. It means a tiny speck. I mean just a speck. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" That's like a two befores, like a long stick or something coming out of your eye compared to the little speck. He said, why? Notice he's asking a question, why beholdest thou the mote? Then he says in verse 4, "Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother," or "how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for these dear people. Lord, I know that they are a people of the Bible. I know they've learned a lot. They've heard a lot. And I'm sure they know a lot about the Word of God. And I pray, dear Lord, that some today, what I'm saying will not be new at all, but it might be new to some. And it might be a revelation to some. Because, Lord, we just can't see ourselves the way that we really are. And we can't see ourselves the way that you see us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help me to bring out this truth today about beholding the motes. And when we get close to one another, help me, Lord. Fill me with the Spirit of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to say, first of all, there are times we have to judge. He says, judge not. And what he's talking about there is critical judgment, a critical spirit, where you're judging people that you have no business judging. And you're setting yourself up as a judge, but it's not in your area. We all have areas that we must judge. If you're a husband today, you've got to be a judge, because you're in charge of the home. The husband is the head of the wife. If you're a husband and wife, if you're parents today, you have to do some judging. I mean, I raised 4 children. They're adults now. And all married, and thank God, all in the house of the Lord this morning. I praise God for that. But there were times I felt like a judge sitting on the bench with my children coming before me. Did you do it? Did you do it? Did you do it? I had to get to the bottom of this. You can't just let things go. And so I had to be a judge. And sometimes I had to make a decision. I heard not too long ago about a mother, and some candy was disappearing. And so she was asking this one and asking this one. And finally she said to the child that she really suspected, she said, "What would you say if we had a camera?" It was down in the basement. It was happening. "What would you say if we had a camera down there?" And the son began to cry. "I didn't know you had a camera." She said, "We don't have a camera, but I knew it was you. I knew it was you." Parents have to do some judging. Employers, if you're an employer today, you have to judge sometimes. You have to judge the quality of your, maybe the timeliness of the employee's work. And sometimes you might have to say, "We're going to have to let you go." And you have to judge there. And if you're a pastor, and we do have a pastor here today, pastors have to judge sometimes. They don't want to. I promise you that. They don't want to, but they have to make some judgments, because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. And it's, you know what? It's a benevolent rule. It's a rule by your choice. It's a rule of love. But I'll tell you what, sometimes pastors have to sit in an office and make a judgment call. And that's their area of judgment. And then, of course, in our government, we have to have judges. I wish many times we had better judges and more conservative judges. I thank God for our president. He's still our president, by the way. You know what? He's still the president. And I thank God for these three Supreme Court justices. I mean, constitutional people. And I thank God for what he's done there. We've got to have judges in our government. But, you know, he's talking here about judging. Judge not that you be not judged. I believe he's talking about a critical spirit. And when we try to judge somebody, and we have no business doing that. I heard the story of everybody was judging this girl that was in a certain church because her stomach was getting big. And everybody concluded that she was expecting out of wedlock, and everybody was judging. It turns out she had a large tumor in her stomach. And Brother Brown told about visiting an old man in a nursing home years and years ago. He said he walked in, and this old man in the nursing home, a Christian man, had a can of beer sitting on his little table there, his little food table. And so, boy, immediately he was judged. And then the old grandfather reached over and picked up that and said, you know what, this is a transistor radio. My grandson brought this in here. And then there was the pastor that it was all over the church that he was chewing tobacco. I hope. Anyway, but it was all over the church because the janitor had seen the evidence in the trash can of the pastor's office. It turns out the pastor had an unusual habit. He chewed coffee grounds. Now, to me, that's about as bad as tobacco. He chewed coffee and he'd spit them out. And then here's one out of our own family album. My wife and I, we have four children. Our oldest son is Jonathan. And Jonathan was a teenager, maybe around 20 years old. And we began to judge Jonathan because he had a job. He worked at a furniture store, but he never had any money. I mean, he was broke all the time. So we're thinking, you know, is it drugs? What is he doing with all of his money? Where is that money going? And different ideas going through our head until one day on our anniversary, we walked into our dining room and there sat this huge dining room table with six chairs, solid oak, and that's where all of his money had gone. He had bought that for our anniversary. No telling what it cost. We still use it today. It's beautiful. And so we were judging. What is he doing with his money? Well, that's just an introduction here about judging. But now, here's the Lord saying, why beholdest thou the mote? He's asking a question. You know, the reason why people see the mote is because they get up close. You have to get up close to somebody to see a little speck in their eye. And this message came about when we made one of our CDs. We made a CD called Heavenly Place. And we hired Rachel Brown, Brother Brown's daughter, to take our picture. And so she took a picture and came to the house with their computer, her and her husband. And she took this picture, my wife and I and Charity and Gabe. And she took that picture and put it on the computer screen. It was about this big. And then she came to my face and she blew that up where all that was on that screen was my face. And I thought, I never dreamed I was that ugly. I mean, every freckle, every mole, every spot, there it was on that screen. And I was thinking, turn it off, turn it off. I've seen enough. And you know, it dawned on me that day. I really got a close up. I really got a close-up. And you know, that's what happens in our churches. That's what happens in our churches. And we've traveled now for 21 years and been in somewhere around 360 different independent Baptist churches. And you know, one thing that we've seen quite a bit of, and pastors telling us, people are coming and going, coming and going. One pastor said, I built this church three times. Now he knows, and I know, and you know, that Jesus builds the church. But what he meant was he gathered a congregation three times. Things seemed to be going well, and then something happened to blow up. People scattered, and he had to almost start all over again. Thank God he stuck with it, and that church down in Dothan, Alabama is doing great today. They got a big, beautiful auditorium and reaching people, and he didn't give up. One pastor said, I pastor the church of the revolving door. People coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And we've all heard about church hoppers. Church hoppers, they'll be here a while, then they move over here a while. I want you to know, I've got a lot of faults in my life, but I'm not a church hopper. We started out in the church in Candleton where I got saved, and then we moved from there to the Sugar Grove Baptist Church in Ohio County, Kentucky, and I was there 23 years, a member of that church, and now we've been a member of Marion Avenue Baptist Church for 20 years, so I'm not a church hopper, but some are. I don't know exactly what they're looking for, but this message could help somebody that has that problem. How many times has this happened? A family visits a church and they love the singing. Well, I love the singing here. I enjoyed those Christmas carols last night. It just rang out. That was beautiful. And they love the preaching and the Sunday school and everything looks so good and they're so happy. And then finally they join the church and sometimes it goes downhill from there. Because when they join the church and they get involved, then they begin to see, hey, there ain't nobody here perfect. And they begin to get up close and they see the motes. They see the motes. They get involved. They get a close up. They see the motes, and which is a spot, a small particle, a speck, and they see that. And I just want to remind you today, every one of us have motes. Every one of us. Most of us have several. And I want to tell you now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about sin in our lives. Sin needs to be dealt with. And I'm not talking about, you know, somebody that has a sinful habit, something that needs to be dealt with. But I'm talking about things like this. I'm talking about everybody has a bad day once in a while. Everybody can be disagreeable once in a while. I don't want anybody to turn to your husband or wife and just look at them when I hit one of these points, all right? But everybody now and then may have a little problem with their temper flaring just a bit. And, you know, sometimes we all say something. I mean, it's like we try to grab the words as they're coming out. We know we shouldn't have said that, but we did. And then sometimes people are irritable. They can be irritable and just having a bad day. Sometimes people are inconsistent. And sometimes people are just not as kind as we wish they were. And then sometimes pride kind of moves in, you know, and it may come right out your mouth or in your attitude. And selfishness can get in there. Stubbornness. How many of you know somebody who's just stubborn? You don't have to admit it. But how many are married? Never mind. But stubborn. And then there are those who are impatient. They're impatient. And then there are those who just talk too much. I said there are those who talk too much. And I'll tell you, sometimes my wife has had to come and rescue me. And has that ever happened to you? Somebody, they want to tell you their whole life's story in one setting, standing by the CD table. They just talk and talk and talk and talk. And then some, they want to tell you about every pain. You see that old Andy Griffith with Emma? Emma, you didn't even ask me about my pain. Oh, it starts here. It goes down through here. It goes out my leg. And Boy, there's some folks you just learned, you better not say, how are you today? You better not. And then there are some that just don't have good manners. They just don't have good manners. Some are downright rude. You know what? That's not necessarily a sin, but it can kind of rub you the wrong way when somebody's just downright rude. Then there are those who like to brag on themselves. Yeah, they like to boast on themselves. And then there are those who are just too nosy. Just too nosy. They just want to ask too many questions. They feel like they need to know everything. And you know what? Personalities may clash in a church. Personalities may clash and rub you the wrong way. There are some, they don't discipline their children like you think they ought to discipline their children. And then there are those who think their children can do no wrong. I used to be a principal of a Christian school, 17 years. And you know what all this is evidence of? We have this treasure, the treasure of salvation, the treasure of the Holy Spirit of God, the treasure of having Jesus in our hearts. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just made of dirt. We're made of clay. And we're just human beings. And the best man, the best of men are men at best. And so when I'm talking about moats, you know, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about, you know, you find out somebody in the church, somebody maybe even in a place of leadership, and they're involved in pornography. That's happening everywhere. That pornography is bringing men down, and I guess some women, I mean, they're falling like flies all over this nation because now pornography is so available. It's so available. Used to be a man would have to leave his house and go to the drugstore or some store and buy a magazine and risk being seen. No more. It'll come right to the phone now. It can come right to the iPhone. And I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about these things I just mentioned. But I want to say today, every one of us has moats. Every church has moats. Every preacher has moats. Now, don't say amen there, but I guarantee you, Brother Jerry's aware of it. I'm sure aware of it. And every preacher has moats. And every husband has moats. And every wife has moats. And every son and every daughter. Every ministry. I saw these buses pull up. Thank God. Thank God for the bus ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a church still running buses. I saw those children coming off those buses. Praise God. What a blessing it is. But I guarantee you there are moats in the bus ministry. There are moats among the workers. There are clashes sometimes among the workers. And there are moats in every ministry. But here, I brought a weapon today. This doesn't have to be a weapon, but many times it is a weapon, and it's used by the devil. And right here it is. You know what the devil loves to do? The devil loves to magnify the moats. He does. He likes to put a magnifying glass in your hand and say, look at this. Look at this. Sometimes he puts it in the hand of the wife. And she says to her husband, look at this. Look what I've seen. And it may be the other way around. And it may be church members, you know, coming up to another one and putting the magnifying glass and say, have you noticed this? Did you see this? Look at this moat right here. They don't call it a moat. But the devil loves to do that. Now, this doesn't have to be a weapon. This can be a tool. You know, I use one every now and then as I'm getting older. But the devil can use it as a weapon. You know, the truth is we ought to be in the magnifying business. The Bible says, let all those who love thy salvation, I believe it's Psalm 40, says, let all those who love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Amen. Amen. We ought to go through life saying, the Lord be magnified. Amen. Everything about us ought to, our appearance, our speech, our expression, the way we talk to people, everywhere we go and everything we do should magnify the Lord. We ought to magnify the Lord by our life and magnify Jesus by our love. And so we should magnify the Lord, but my friend, don't magnify the motes. Don't magnify the motes. You know, the devil delights in causing Christians to lose respect, lose confidence in a preacher or a church or a ministry or just another church member, and get them to focus on the motes. My friend, the flaws are there. They're in all of us. If you're sitting there today saying, well, I think I'm the exception. My friend, you're blind as a bat. In fact, that's why we need to pray, search me, O God. Search me, O God, because we don't see ourselves the way we really are. I think it might be good sometimes for husbands and wives to say to one another, do you see anything? It might be hard to say it, but do you see this in my life? I want to ask you a question today. Do you focus on the negative? Do you focus on the negative? If you do, I feel sorry for you, because you're in for a life of disappointment, and you're in for a life of discouragement if you focus on the negative, because it's there. It's there in every life. I mean, no matter how great that man of God may be, I promise you there are some motes there. No matter how great the church may be, there are some motes in that church. You know what? If you're focusing on the negative, you're doomed for a life of disappointment, and you're doomed for a life of church hopping. That's why people hop. They're looking for that perfect church. They're looking for that church that doesn't have any motes. And they go here and they go there. Sometimes they're looking for a place where they can get a little bit more attention. And that happens. But you know, I've had in my life, as I said, I used to say three pastors. Now I've got four. My son-in-law is my pastor. And you know what? They're all great men. Benita's dad was my first pastor, the man I got saved in his church. Then we went to Sugar Grove, Brother Eddie Calloway, my pastor for over 20 years. Then Brother Larry Brown, my pastor for many years. And now his son-in-law, Joseph Brown, is my pastor. You know what? They're all great men. They are all great men. But they all have motes. They all have motes. Not a one of them perfect. And I got close enough to see some of those motes. And you know, every church has motes. And when you first come in, you may think, boy, this is a perfect place. But it's not a perfect place, because it's filled with imperfect people. We're all just sinners saved by grace. And we all can backslide, and it doesn't take long to backslide. You can backslide in 24 hours or less. You say, how do you know that? I've experienced it. I certainly have. And it's, you know, it's all on what you focus on. You know, there are some things in every church that I've been in that I disagreed with. There were some things at Sugar Grove I disagreed with. Now I'm at Marion Avenue Baptist Church, a great church. Oh, it's a great church. We're so thankful for our church. We thank God all the time for our church, and we don't get to be there much, but we love it. But you know what? It's not a perfect church. There are motes there. There are things, and I'm treading on, I'm walking on eggs here. I'm treading on dangerous ground, maybe. But there are things at Marion Avenue Baptist Church that I don't agree with. There are things our pastor has said before that I didn't agree with. Now listen, I've been saved 51 years. I've heard a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching. I've been reading the Bible now for 51 years. I don't agree with everything I hear, no matter who the preacher is. But you know, you got to look at the big picture. Amen. You've got to look at the big picture. You've got to look and say, you know what? I may not agree with that, but boy, there's one thing, but there's 100 things I do agree with. There's 1,000 things I agree with. He may have said one thing that I don't agree with, but why get bent out of shape about that? when there are so many things that are right and true, and he stands for those. And this church, oh, there may be somebody over there, they're not doing that job exactly like I think they ought to do it. They may not dress exactly the way I think they ought to dress. They may not do everything like I would prefer, but you know what? They're doing something. And there are a whole lot of people in this church. They're doing something for the glory of God. And this is a great church. My friend, don't focus on the motes. Don't focus on those few things you may disagree with. Thank God for all the good things. Praise God for that. I had the privilege to get close to Brother Larry Brown. Brother Larry Brown, he's 73 now, same age as President Trump. Both of them go day and night. And it's amazing. By the way, let me say to you folks in your 60s, thinking about retiring, give up that idea. Look at Donald Trump, look at Larry Brown, and just keep going on into the 70s. Go strong, go full blast, amen. I mean, you may retire from a job, but don't retire on God, amen. Keep on going. Brother Brown, I got close to him. We had a southern bond. There we were, two southern men up in Iowa. And so we ate together, we talked together. We had a southern bond. My wife and his wife, they got close together. Kentucky woman and a North Carolina woman. And we got close. And you know what? I saw motes. I saw things in Brother Brown. Brother Hiles said one time, he said, I was close enough to John R. Rice, I could smell his bad breath. But he revered John R. Rice. And he had that man on a pedestal. He loved John R. Rice, but he saw the flaws. There were things he disagreed with that Brother Rice would say, and there are things I've heard Brother Brown say that I didn't totally agree with. But there were so many things that he did say. I loaded up my family in Kentucky, the promised land, and moved to Iowa, no man's land. Oh, I'm telling you, we got stuck in a blizzard 2 years ago in November, trying to get to church, stuck in a blizzard in Iowa. I mean, I called 911. They said, the tow trucks are not out tonight. Then we moved there intentionally. Why? I say the Marion Avenue Baptist Church, but actually it was Larry Brown. It was Larry Brown because God used him to make the Marion Avenue Baptist Church what it was. And we moved to be a part of that church, and we're still there 20 years now. And yes, I've seen some motes there, but I love what I see. I love the majority of what I see there. And by the way, you know, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you read your Bible, did you know this? The more opinionated you will be. Yeah. The more you know about the Word of God, the more opinions you'll have. But my friend, learn how to be gracious. Learn how to let some things go. If it's a matter of opinion and somebody doesn't agree with you, you don't always have to prove that you're right. Are you negative today? Do you focus on the motes? I've seen people leave a church that is on fire. I've seen them leave a church that's a man of God in the pulpit preaching like Billy Sunday. I mean, just preaching up a storm like your pastor preaches. I've seen people leave a church with a choir that sings out for the glory of God, and the music is wonderful, and the buses are running, and people are knocking on doors, and they're reaching missionaries, sending out missionaries, and they leave that church because of one incident, one disagreement. It wasn't sin. It was a matter of opinion. Somebody rubbed them the wrong way. Something was said they didn't agree with. They leave that church. And they find a church where they're comfortable. They're comfortable there. Yeah, they go out and they find a church that doesn't have as many motes. Yeah, because there's not much going on. You know, the less activity, the less motes. The more activity, the more you're going to bump into one another. Amen. The more that's going on in a church, the more you're likely to get hit by an elbow. And somebody's going to bump into you. Somebody's going to invade your space because there's so much going on for the glory of God. But my friend, learn how to say thank God for this beehive. You may get stung once in a while, but thank God for this beehive of activity, because we walk into churches and sometimes it's like walking into a funeral home. There is no life. And more often, too often, we find that. So these people leave an on-fire church, and they go and they find a church. For whatever reason they leave, you know, they find a church where there's not much going on. They meet at 11 o'clock sharp, and they leave at 12 o'clock dull. And there's an invisible sign out in front of that church that says, "Do not disturb." And the motto of that church is, "Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat." But you know what? That's not the motto of Jesus. You know what Jesus' motto is? Launch out into the deep. Amen. When you launch out into the deep, your boat will be rocked. I promise you that. When you launch out into the deep, there's some big waves out there. Your boat will be rocked. But my friend, that's where the fish are. That's where the fishing's good. That's where the big ones are caught. Launch out into the deep. And there are churches, they don't want to do that. And thank God for this church. You show me a church that's launching out and hot after souls, knocking on doors. Brother, let's keep knocking on doors. Amen. Let's keep doing that. Running buses, Sunday school, missions, great choir. All these things. Show me a church like that. Yes, I could show you the most, but I won't. I won't. By the way, if you came up today and you laid $1 million in front of me, and my wife knows this is absolutely true. She knows how much money means to me, which is nothing. But if you laid $1 million, I mean, there it was, $100 bills in big stacks. Say, "This is $1 million. Tell me one of Brother Brown's moats." I would not do it. If you laid out $1 million, $10 million, and came up and said, "Oh, your son-in-law is your pastor. You said there's something he said that you didn't agree with. Tell me what it is." I wouldn't tell you for $10 million, and God knows I'm telling the truth. I wouldn't tell you. There's some things I don't even tell my wife. I just say, "You know what, I disagree with that, but I thank God for all the things I do agree with." Amen. Let me just ask you today, I'll say this to you today, guard against a critical spirit. Guard against, remember back when the scare was going around about Ebola and anthrax? Remember when people were afraid to open their mail because of anthrax? Somebody opened a letter and there was some powder in it. It might be anthrax. My friend, you better guard against a critical spirit like you would guard against that, like you would guard against COVID or whatever it is. Guard against a critical spirit. Don't become a Pharisee. Don't become a Pharisee. Don't let that happen to you. Don't become a person. You've got, you know, that beam, you have a beam in your own eye. That might be a critical spirit. That may be the beam. That's a big thing, a critical spirit. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy a marriage. It'll destroy a church when you have a critical spirit. Don't. If you've got it, ask God to forgive you. You say, "I don't know if I've got it or not." That might be a good place for a husband and wife to ask one another, "Do you think I have a critical spirit?" "Well, I've been around people that have it. I want to get away from them. I want to get away from that person." Don't get a critical spirit. Don't let it happen to you. The closer you get to God, the more moat you'll see in yourself. Amen. Abraham got real close to God. He said, "I am but dust and ashes." Job got very close to God, and Job said, "I abhor myself." Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." And Isaiah was probably the holiest man on earth, but when he got a good view of God, he saw what he looked like. My friend, amen. Paul said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners." David said, "I'm a worm and no man." I mean, when you get close to God, the closer you get to Him, the worse you look. And you know what? Instead of saying, "Oh, wretched man that he is," you'll be saying like Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am." The closer you get to God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray you deliver us from the devil's magnifying glass. Deliver us, Lord, from a critical spirit. Help us to appreciate the good. Thank God for the good. Praise the Lord for the good. And Lord, help us not to stumble over a mote. Deliver us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.